That's how Mike was hitting people back in the day. They going there.
But the snake got busy too, though, right?
Woo!
The snake. Oh, he's breaking
down,
him down.
He got down like this. Cousin.
On his back, curl on his back, breaking people's Woo! Legs and stuff.
And Centipede. Man. Don't forget Centipede now. He was faster than a mother. He hit a nigga like 90 times, like Master Ip.
Hey everybody, welcome to another great episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Eben Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson.
And Mike, we got a couple of OGs in
fucking
here today, brother.
Fucking dynamic duo.
Well, fucking hello. Dynamic duo. We got the man Corrupt.
Hello.
And we've got Daz in the house.
Fucking what's dog up? Pound.
I mean, we is in baby. Here. We is in here. We is in here. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
I was just working out on the treadmill and I had the video on One Blood with Game and they were on there. Those two were talking shit.
That's what that. We do.
I was listening
bitch
to Weekend Freakin' on the way
in. Fucking gangsters replacing them, right? That kind of shit, right?
You already know.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
I was like, damn, do Game know that? Because he would love to know that. Uncle Mike working out to some of that Game music.
I like that when everybody's blazing, so different rappers all blazing, getting busy.
I mean, why not? Not why.
Yeah.
I love that too, though. That's the fun of it, though, Mike. You know, everybody getting together. Having a good time, making some great music, like the symphony. Remember the symphony, huh?
Fuck yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Kool G Rap was sick. Yeah.
He's always a good guy. Whatever happened to him?
Which one?
Kool G Rap.
Kool G Rap.
Oh, he's still rolling.
Yeah.
He's getting it together, man, but he's still in there, man. Can't count out a real one.
Queens.
Hello. He's one of the champs.
So tell us, man, what's up with this rap business, man? Is it different now?
Totally.
Tell me, well, how's
Take us
it?
Back to when you guys came in. How you guys came in, and then what? And then let's lead into what it's like these days.
The difference, I think, you know, everybody has to earn it, no matter what it is. You know what I'm saying? But with us, it was just different because the streets was connected to how we had to earn it. So it wasn't just about our talent. Well, how good we was, it was also about, you know, how solid we was as, you know, cause we was kids.
Yeah.
You know, Uncle Mike was around, man. Him and Suge, they used to just be rolling. We wanted to be like them. We just wanted to be the big boys. And, you know, we had to earn it, man. We had to earn it in a different way. Nowadays, you really don't got to earn it in that same fashion. You know, you could just
make
it.
Pick up your phone and get it on your phone.
Oh, yeah. You can become a star in any way, shape,
but
or fashion.
You're from Philadelphia, right?
Yes, sir.
How did you get here?
Who?
How the fuck you from Philadelphia to California? L.A. at that.
Yeah, but one thing back in the day Suge taught us was all press is good press, what'd he say? Mm. Whether it's bad or good. I crashed my mama's car. And see, when I wrecked that car at 16, she chased me around the house with the broomstick. So, you know, I got tired of running. So I stopped, and she went to hit me, and I just took it and grabbed the broomstick, broke it on my knee. I said, Mom, what's wrong with you? And my mama said, you got to go. When I can't whoop your ass, you got to go. She don't even cuss. She's a Christian lady. Oh, God, God. She said, if I can't whoop your ass, you got to go. She called my father. He was in California. And then he was like, you want to come out here, Rick? And I was like, hell yeah. Okay. He had the cheeks. He in California, man. Sunshiny day.
That must have been amazing from fucking Philadelphia to California with the rain and all the cloudy all the time.
Yeah.
My mama crying, everybody crying. I said, oh, don't cry. I'm never coming back. I got out there, man. I was like, bro,
what happened?
Man.
You saw all these girls with no clothes on. That drove me nuts, right?
I was like, man, I'm in heaven. And he moved to Hawthorne, and back then Hawthorne was a very bomb city. It wasn't gang infested and all of that yet. And then, you know, that's what it was, man. Crashed my mama's car and it changed my life. Isn't that crazy?
Incredible. Yeah, no, it was ordained to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? Negative turned to a positivity.
No, that wasn't negative.
See? It wasn't negative. You heard my aunt. It wasn't negative, right?
There's really no such thing good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a perception.
Got you. Got you.
Yeah.
And that's that game.
No, it is.
Because we live like that, you know. You got a negative, you got the positive. People get caught in that box.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not realizing that everything
right place,
is
right place
everything's already
time.
Wrote.
Yeah. No, everything is written. You know, we're not steering the ship. We believe we're steering the ship, but we're not.
Right.
And that's right. Because I'm too stupid. I would have never survived. If it was up to me to steer my ship in life, I wouldn't survive.
Right. Neither would I.
The universe just takes you, man. Yeah. Daz, how about you?
Hey, I live every day like it's my first day. Mm. You know, enjoy life and, you know, take care of my mother. You know, she got Alzheimer's, dementia and stuff like that. So, you know, from doing all that to doing this, you know, since somebody got to do it, you know, so
I take it into my hand. I wish I could think like that. I wish my mind worked like that.
Me too, man.
You too, right? I'm thinking about shit, nigga. It's close to me. I'm going to die soon. What's going to happen? Where am I going?
Right.
I know this energy.
Somebody going to give me some water. One of my
this
kids.
This energy is not going to go nowhere. Where am I going? You know?
And what am I doing?
Yeah. Why am I here?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
is my purpose?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but when you look at it, though, Unc, I mean, shit, we done it all. What else is there to do, you know?
Unimaginable things. You just can't imagine it.
Exactly. I was telling my kids the other day, like, look, you never know what's going to happen. If you knew that, you'd be God. The thing about it is, you know, it's things that you can't explain. Like, you know, how does plants create oxygen? You'll never be able to understand.
You can't even
that.
See oxygen.
You can't even see it. And so
how do we know it's there?
How do we know any of this?
Because we're breathing it.
Right.
Mm. Why if we go on another planet, we can't breathe?
And you know,
we're
if, you,
die.
If you think about this so
when
much,
you die, you ain't smoking
you know, you'll
no
blow
more.
Your
how
brains
does that
away.
Feel?
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I like that.
Yeah. Right.
I like smoking. I think smoking's a nat. I think you can get high without smoking, without using drugs.
Well, you know what? Speaking of smoking.
Let's see. Isn't it good that we smoke on this show?
Mm-hmm. Uncle Mike, I didn't even know you indulged.
Really?
Oh, holy mackerel.
Oh, no, I always indulged. No, back then I wasn't because I was fighting. I always remember
but
I was
what
fighting.
Was the popular weed back then when you was growing up? Like
Panamanian Gold and all that shit. Yeah.
That's right. What, see, my uncle?
Red and all
what
that
shit.
What he yeah. called
it? He was smoking that shit.
What was Uncle Snoop talking about? He called it... y'all don't know about no real weed. We had the real weed when I was in Vietnam.
No, this is the best weed they ever had in this year of the world. Man,
gold, huh?
This stuff right here in California, this might be better than
Crondo,
and that's coming
Kush
from the
mundo.
Champ. And I'm pretty sure there ain't
been
nothing that he ain't
I've been all
seen.
Over California, the king of weed.
Hello.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
You heard it out. The champs, man.
Look, if you ever look on black market for weed, whoa, they show you some red weed with white in and white buds. Ooh, incredible exotic weed that you never think exists. Black buds. You say, yeah,
purple looks like frosty.
Yeah, until you smoke it.
It's depending on how they grow.
Tell me about what happens when you smoke it.
When you smoke it, you'd be like, this is straight up bullshit.
Really?
Fucking right. What the fuck?
Pretty
is this?
Weed and all that shit.
But then when you come to California, you'll see the same kind of weed in California, though, and then when you smoke it, you still be coughing like I am. Hello. Hello.
Now, once you come to California, you know I'm not going back where I came from.
You motherfucking right.
But they got weed laws in New York.
Cali's the promised
land. Yeah, but listen, how you going to deal with those people in New York that aggressive shit in your face every day? Now you got to get a charge and go to prison?
Who wants to do that, man?
You know, what you going to do? Now you got to get a charge because you got to shave your man or your face. Now you got to go to prison. I don't want to be in fucking prison. I want to be in California where everybody loves everybody.
And smoke weed and go to the beach.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And say, Mr. Officer, you got a light?
No, really. No, but you understand what I'm saying, right?
Hey, yeah.
I don't deal that aggressive energy.
New York is so aggressive. And, you know, it's amazing how... You set such an example that you can come from here. You can come from Catskill. You can come from all parts of Brooklyn. You can come from Staten Island. You can come from all these different islands because, you know, they say, like, New York is an island.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you can come from all these different places and you can win, but it's so aggressive and so much competition that you have to be a beast. Yeah. I tell MCs all the time, when I'm rocking, nigga, I'm Mike. I eat your kids. You understand me? When I get on this mic, I'm gonna chew you to bits and pieces. I'm gonna take your clavicle. Your clavicle is what I want, cause I ain't got a clavicle on my wall. So I want your clavicle. I'm gonna chew you to bits. You know, I get into that type of mode. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's afraid of me. They afraid that when they come into the ring or the mic, they already lost because, you know, They already know I'm going to serve them. So therefore, how could you win?
But what do you think makes you feel that way? What makes you think that way? Where you got that thought from?
The mic. One thing in Philly I learned was competition. Competition was about the mic. So with the mic, I battled all the time. I was a kid. What was I like? 11, 12?
Wow.
And I'm serving 18-year-olds with all freestyles. So I grew up where you had to be spontaneous, and that's how you serve them, and you had to be slick. It's a Philly style. You got to be real slick with your words. So I had to perfect that. You know what I'm saying? That's some bomb-ass dope. Yeah, but I had to perfect that. Then when I got it perfected, it's like we was talking about the five deadly venoms. That's when I became Lizard. Start popping niggas up top of their head, made their heart explode. Spelling on their shirts, their hats, the different letters and what they meant, and just getting creative. You know what I'm saying?
Old school, right there. You did it,
Corrupt. So when you came out to Cali,
yes, sir.
Who were the first dudes you met?
How the fuck you got hooked up here?
Who were the first guys you met
in high school? I just started serving everybody,
and then you got a reputation.
I got that reputation. Then people from LA started coming to where I was at to.
Where'd you go to high school?
To bring me to, be a part of their squad. I think it was Eldrin first, and it was Broomy, my big brother from the neighborhood. And then after that, I was at Death Row because I met Snoopy at the Roxy. Right there on Hollywood and Sunset. On Sunset in Hollywood. Right. Across from the Rainbow Room. And that's where we all, got down in a battle and Beefy the only Loke. One that can make it with me was Dog.
Beefy Loke was beatboxing.
Yeah, Beefy Loke beatboxing, so it was real. This is our community, Long Beach, and I came with Los Angeles. So you got Long Beach and Los Angeles in one place. Los Angeles, this is Corrupt. Long Beach, it was Domino first. Me and Domino got down. Domino wasn't playing either. But then it progressed to Snoop. So, they represent Long Beach. I'm representing L.A., and we got to battling. And through the battle, we created a bond. We created a friendship because we respected each other's skills. So instead of ending where it was like, who won, me and Snoop started rapping together out of the battle, And just, Snoop was like, look, if you make it first, you come get me. This is that and whop-de-whap. And I was like, you know what? And if you make it first, then you come get me. Whop-de-whop-de-whop-de-whap. And we started rapping together, and then Snoop made it. And he stuck to his word. And he found Corrupt. My sis Diamond was out at the Dr. Dre party.
She got a loud mouth.
Oh, boy, did she. That's what started the battle in the first place, Diamond.
What she say? What
did mother she say? Talk about that.
Serve my motherfucking homeboy.
Oh, y'all from Long Beach, huh? Oh, okay, I see y'all.
She's
but
loud.
You can't serve my homeboy Corrupt.
Put your spot up.
Right.
How did you get that name, Corrupt?
Oh, that's crazy. When I came from Philly, my name was K-Rock. So, I wasn't up on the Crip and Blood thing. And I met some folks from Inglewood, namely Menace. Mental. You know what I'm saying? And from IVC. And Mental was just like, I got this thing for this group, Chaos, Corrupt. And Chainsaw. I'm going to be Chaos. Chainsaw is our DJ because he's scratching. He's cutting it up. You're going to be Corrupt. I said, okay, cool, but I got to spell it with a K. He said, I don't give a fuck how you spell it, but you Corrupt. As long as it ain't a CK in there like your old name, K-Rock. We can't have that. I was like, oh, okay, well, shit, I ain't give a fuck Corrupt. I spelled it my way because, I wasn't gangbanging at the time. I was a kid, man, fresh from Philly. You know what I'm saying? It'd be 100 degrees outside, and I got on the goose down jacket.
Fuck, man. Wait, man, I couldn't believe when I first came out here, I was just so wide open and shit.
In Cali?
Yeah, I was like, fuck, this is heaven.
Yeah, it's paradise.
I made it. Yeah, I made it. No more fucking Brooklyn for me. No more crazy motherfucking shootings for me.
That's the thing, man. I made it, man. Like, my mama asked me, you want to go live with your dad? And I'm thinking to myself, like, Ma, why would you ask a question you already know the answer to?
Yeah.
Of course I want to. It's California. Every time I'm out there, I feel like I'm the best. I feel like I'm the champ.
Yeah.
I feel like this is beautiful, man, compared to where I was in Philly.
Mm. All the grind looking at you, staring you. Oh, setting you up. Oh, it's 30 up there, huh? 30. Yeah,
Philly's like No, you got New York, man. And then you got Jersey, and then there's Philly, and then so on and so on. But Philly, man, oh, my God, you know, it was no joke being out there because, you know, you got to walk to school, walk around, and all these people. One thing they like to do is fight. So, you know, you walk up the street, somebody just be walking by, they just look at you, and they just sock you, bang. You got to fight. It was like that, so you had to be careful all the time. But, you know, California was the same way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being in the streets, if not even more, because I remember a little boy, he had to be like, I was like 18. This kid had to be like, what, 13 years old? Rode up on me and told me to take off my shoes.
You wanted to take your shoes?
He said, take off my shoes. Because I had the all blue Nike things. And this little boy was 13 years old. He was, you know, banging. He was from, you know, he was the blood. And he just rolled up. Like, man, you got to take off your shoes. I ain't never had that happen to me before. I came here at 16. That's like, what, 3 years? I ain't started gangbanging. I ain't went to the hood yet.
When I was in school, someone tried to take my sneakers in the school hallway, in the stairway and stuff.
Right.
And I was scared, so I took off my shoes. He tried to put my feet were too big for him. He couldn't take my shoes. It was too big.
He gave them back?
He gave them back.
Oh, wow.
You keep these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You so lucky, man. They're brand new. You're so fucking lucky.
See, that's the beginning.
Lucky I wear
nine. That's the beginning of jacking. That's called jacking. He just wanted me to take off my shoes. He didn't even want to take my shoes. They was blue.
Because they were
like,
blue.
You got to take them off. I said, man, you must be crazy, little boy. I'm waiting for my nephew to come out. And then he said, what? I'm going to go to my house, get my gun, come back and shoot you.
As they told you?
Yeah. And I'm like, little boy, get out of here. Inside, though, I'm like, as soon as my nephew come out, run. Because this kid ain't playing. He's not playing. Talk about going to his house, grab a gun. I believed him. I grabbed my nephew. I said, come on, we're going to play a game. Let's see who can get to the house the fastest. Come on now. Catch up now. Catch up. Got to get out of here, man. I ain't know nothing about gangbanging. I'd probably be dead if I was gangbanging at that time. Because I'd have got offended. And probably,
you know,
try
in New
to take
York
off.
And stuff, and the East Coast is different. It's not gangs like crews.
Right.
But they're gangs.
Posses.
Yeah, right. But they're still gangs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
AKA.
They're still gangs. But they're easier to get into than gangs.
Mm. Right.
You know what I mean? So that's how you can easily get a turncoat. They're easier to get into gangs. Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's different, though.
What's the difference?
We go like this. Instead of like, those are them niggas from up there on Chauncey Street. Mm. Or down here on Rutland Road. You know, there's no, there's just niggas from Rutland Road or this or that.
There's no,
you know,
names.
No. Or that crew from Rutland Road.
Streets.
Yeah, the streets more. Them niggas from that street, the niggas street, from that street.
That part
yeah.
of this, yeah, I mean, it's just all, hey.
Man, good luck is the word of the day. Boy, it's hard to survive.
Ooh, yeah, right?
And
how to survive in South
Central. The East Coast is hard to survive in the West, the South. Everybody has their own little woo-wop.
Yeah.
And it's hard to survive. Everybody had to go through something.
And the only thing, this is how you know you're in the wrong neighborhood, when they don't know you.
That's it.
This is when you know you're in the wrong neighborhood. When they don't know you're in the wrong neighborhood.
That's it.
And when they get to looking.
Yeah, when they don't know you, you don't know them, you're in the fucking wrong neighborhood, nigga.
And you better get.
We got the Super Bowl coming up, buddy.
Okay, the Super Bowl is what, the 2nd?
Yeah, February 2nd.
Yes, the 2nd.
Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers. Big game.
Chiefs are going to kick ass.
You think?
Yeah.
Mahomes all the
way?
Mahomes
is badass.
Yeah, Mahomes is a badass. Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be an incredible game. 49ers have a great defense. Mahomes is one of the greatest to ever do it. Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs head coach, he's due for a Super Bowl win. I mean, I don't know about you. I think I'm putting my money on the 49ers, though.
Listen, right? Check this out. When I was in prison, right, for 3 years, that's when the 49ers, from like, what, 92 to 95, that's when they kicked ass.
Yeah.
And then I remember Joe Montana got hurt, and then they put in Steve Young, and Steve Young, he's a monster. And I'm really not that much of a football player, but I remember those two from yesterday. They remind me of my time in prison.
Wow.
I was such a 49ers fan.
Were you really? Yeah, those guys were amazing.
From 92 to 95, that time, wow.
Amazing. This guy, Ronnie Lott.
I remember. I knew Ronnie
he
Lott.
He cut his finger off.
Yeah, I know.
To play in the Super Bowl.
Well, how did that happen?
Well, it was so badly broken. They said,
yeah, yeah, I remember. Yeah,
Ronnie, we're going to have to do surgery on that thing to fix it, and you're going to miss the Super Bowl. And he said, well, I'm not missing the Super Bowl. What are my options? They said, well, we could remove the finger. He said, let's do it. So he cut his finger off to go play in the Super Bowl. Is that some shit or what, dude?
No, listen, it must have happened to them. Must have happened to you. I don't know who are these people. They must have met somebody like I met Cousin. Whatever he taught me became my life.
Yeah. 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 It's true, man. That becomes our destiny. No matter what. You gotta be there. You gotta show up. You gotta be on the field. You gotta be in the fight. Yeah.
My whole life, my only thing that stayed, the world's greatest fighter.
Yeah.
My whole life, the world's greatest fighter.
At all costs.
The world's greatest fighter. I'm the world's greatest fighter. My name is Mike Tyson. I'm the world's greatest fighter. I had to say that in the mirror. My name is Mike Tyson. I'm the world's greatest fighter.
Wow. Well, speaking of being the greatest fighter the world has ever seen, we've got an incredible fight coming up in February.
Yeah, 22nd.
Wilder versus Fury, your namesake, Tyson.
Yes.
Fury.
Yes, Tyson Fury.
Had him on the pod.
Yes.
You can't go against your namesake.
Never will.
I don't know the odds, but that's an incredible fight.
I'm looking forward to being there. I want to be there.
Yeah. Are you a gambler?
Not no more.
No. You used to.
Yeah.
What is the biggest bet you ever made?
Well, Teddy told me to do 60.
You lost 60 that day?
Yeah, I don't even remember that. And he remembered that shit.
He lost 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could probably make those bets at Bet Online. How about this, dude? How do you feel about this? It almost seems like sacrilege, but you've got these guys, these YouTube stars, Jake Paul and Ali Essen Gibb, are fighting in a boxing match.
Oh, man. I want to be there. I want to see that.
Really?
Show. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
No, that's
dude.
Why I want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. These dudes are stepping in the ring. You know who else?
Oh.
Our dude, Omarion. Omarion.
You fighting
somebody? Omarion and Lil Fizz are in a possible celebrity boxing match.
Oh, yeah, because of their girlfriend. They beat that. His ex-girlfriend, his baby mama, they ain't sleeping with Lil Fizz. This is publicity.
That's all pub?
Yeah, I ain't no listen, man. She ain't don't seem like no dirty bitch like that. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think.
What do you think of O? I think he could fight.
I love O.
Yeah,
O's
I love
a beautiful
him too.
Brother.
Yeah, he's the man.
I don't even want to see him fight nobody. He has a good spirit, good, nice guy.
I know. You can't imagine him in the ring.
I saw him at the airport when I came back from wherever I came back from. I saw him in the airport.
You did?
Yeah.
He's beautiful, man. Well, all the best to him. So, look, guys. You can bet on all this shit. You could gamble on literally anything, any competition happening. Just head over and visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, Bet Online, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus.
All right, once again, visit Bet Online, and don't forget the promo code, okay? PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
Mike, isn't CBD such an amazing compound? It's amazing that we have access to this medicine now. I mean, athletes like you and me, we beat the hell out of our bodies.
I agree.
We suffered a lot of injuries. I had a shoulder injury. Every joint in my body hurts, but thanks to CBD, you know, I can live a life of high quality.
I agree 100%. You know, I'm just such a fan of CBD. I think within 100 years, it'll be in our DNA.
I think you're right.
You know, I think CBD, it's just amazing. It's a wonder miracle. I won't say a drug, but it's a medicine.
Yep. It's awesome. Enter Omax Health. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health.
Yeah, Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off of the full bottle of the CryoFreeze CBD Pain Relief Roll-On, plus free shipping.
I've been using it after my workouts, and I got to say, it's taken all the aches and pains away. You know, I like to lift weights still, Mike, and, you know, that can be tough on my joints. But I use this CryoFreeze CBD Pain Relief Roll-On, and, man, I got to tell you, it takes the pain right away.
Man, listen, man, I believe in the weightlifting, too. I believe weightlifting leads to longer life.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to say, man, listen, I used to go to the omaxhealth.com today and enter the code Tyson, and it's heaven.
That's awesome. This discount also applies toward any product site-wide, and Omax Health carries great supplements, fish oil, probiotics, cognitive boosters, everything you need. So head over to omaxhealth.com. That's omaxhealth.com. And enter code Tyson to get 20% off CryoFreeze and everything else on their site.
Just go to omaxhealth.com today and enter code Tyson.
In New York, they will strip you butt naked of all your clothes and leave you in the middle of the street. Take everything. They will strip you butt naked, beat you unconscious.
I mean, butt naked, though. Really huh? Butt naked, man. East
no, I'm
Coast,
serious.
Y'all was really like, the thing about the East Coast, you know, and
they
me
use
being
razors
from Philly,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Y'all was wicked, man.
Bullets.
If they want to hurt you, man, they going to hurt you in a way. Like, it's almost like, you know what? I ain't going to kill you, but I'm going to degrade you of everything you are. You'll be a walking 50. Zombie because you'll always be known for getting beat up, stripped down, jacket taken, shirt
being
taken,
disrespectful.
All of that shit, man.
Draws
and then you still alive. And then, like in New York, they give you that $150.
They're gonna slice you, this is dirty people.
See, they slice you to get you to say, hey, he's got the marker.
He walk around like
and
the
girls slice you too. Everybody, it's crazy out there, right? What
you
the
walk,
fuck
you walk
going
down the street
on?
Like that lady that had the S on her motherfucking chest because she was a Scarlet. She had the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah, Scarlet Letter.
That's what it is. When that they give you that $150. That's that Scarlet Letter. You walk around forever with that mark as a reminder of what happens to anybody like you. So either you got into a real squabble and they got you, and he's a real one, then he earned it.
See, now in New York, there's a lot of gangs now.
Yeah, they adapted to West Coast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just
big
shoot
time.
To kill.
Big time. I never thought that would happen like that. I never thought that... Either. You know, cause before the East Coast used to say this was corny. Gangbanging was corny.
Man, right. That's
now,
what they said.
That's what they said in Philly, too.
Man, them niggas gangbanging.
They said this is corny.
Man,
right?
they would ask me.
They said
like,
they ain't getting money. They
like, Rick. They say, Rick, you gangbanging? I mean, why would you do that? I mean, that's what they say. That's corny, man. It's like, you know, I wish a nigga would try and get mad at me because of a color. I wear all colors, man. That shit.
Yeah, the same thing.
They say.
Now
like,
you go to New York,
see,
you better not
man,
wear red or blue.
Man, you stupid for
nigga.
That, man. That shit is stupid.
So they come out here in the West and they say.
Now they gangbanging.
Show me your ID or we going to blow your motherfucking ass off you.
Don't know what to say.
Do you guys feel like music was your way through all that?
I was rapping since I was 8. I always wanted to be an MC. My cousin Skippy G in Philly from Germantown, I wanted to be like him first. Then after him, I wanted to be like Rakim. Mm. After Rakim, I developed my own style. And the R was my major influence. So I would emulate him, imitate him. And then now, I mean, and then I got my own style of flowing.
And bring it to all your own style.
Right. Mm. And that's what it's about because we all have inspirations. We use pieces of their game or they craftsmanships and things like that. We add it to ourselves and become the best we can be because even they had people they took styles from.
So tell me, how do you survive that? How do you survive that East Coast, West Coast shit?
It wasn't easy because it's the whole different lifestyle. But once I moved,
how when you went there, when you came, this is what I wanted to ask you a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. How long ago?
Back when this shit was happening.
You guys known each other a really long time?
Yeah.
Oh man, Uncle was there when we was kids, man.
Listen,
we
how do you babies. Feel coming from Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. And then you in West Coast, and all of a sudden you in all this shit. How the fuck now I'm fighting these niggas from over here now? What's this about?
Well, by that time, I was already, you know. I was already gangbanging by that time, so really didn't matter at all.
You were all
this
in
is where
that.
I'm at. I done, it's kind of like trans formations. It's like transitioning. You know, you're here. You have pieces of that game. It's just like I was saying about styles. You know, you got pieces of this life, but there's a time where you at. You know, it ain't where you're from. It's where you're at, and you gotta adapt. Then I met people that, you know, I really gave a fuck about. So one of them got hurt. I felt connected to it, and I'm living in the 60s. So it's like, you know, this is where I'm at. So this is what I'm going to represent. This is what it is. So then when I did get with Death Row and everything cracked, I was already laced with the art of war. And the fact that it is what it is, I'm from Philly. But see, remember, Mike, there was no East Coast, West Coast war. There was just individuals who had issues in their teams. But the East and the West, they joined in.
Yeah.
They got involved. You know what I'm saying? Like, we, you know, these people represented the East. We represented the West.
I thought that was an amazing time in life.
What was the beginning of that rivalry? Was it Tupac and Biggie?
Death Row was born. That's when.
Because they sort of set up, they drew a line in the sand.
But remember, there was no East Coast, West Coast.
Right.
It was just war upon individuals. Mm. Dr. Dre had an issue with Easy. Suge already knew the people he was upset with. And then as time progressed, however, Suge and Puffy clashed.
Once fucking Pac got on the scene, it was over, huh?
Oh, it was over then. Oh, forget it. Pac took what the East Coast, West Coast. he took what the wars over, was. Yeah.
But the media made that up as far as the East Coast, West Coast, and everybody
that's where
was
it came
ran
from
with
the
it.
Media. But we know, like I said, even Pac's thing, man, Pac had a problem with an individual. He had a problem with Biggie. From there, the East Coast got behind Biggie, the West Coast got behind Pac, same synopsis. You know, to tell you the truth, the first real smash was New York, New York, corrupt.
Yeah, I remember that. Remember you came to New York, you kicked the buildings open and shit?
That was the set off of all of everything. Bang, pow, boom. Oh, man, it's crazy.
I remember people on the radio. People on the radio. So y'all let these niggas come to New York and do that. You know what I'm hearing that? Was that Biggie and them?
No, that was Biggie to tell them they right there on Times Square. They right there.
They Biggie,
go get them.
Biggie said that?
He ain't say go get them, Dad.
Man, point blank.
Come on, cuz.
My interpretation.
He basically said like this because it was in the car. Motherfucker was like, man, listen, Biggie's on the radio. Basically, he was like, look, you know, I ain't saying to do nothing to nobody, but, you know, we couldn't shoot a video like this in the West Coast. You know, I'm just saying, you know what
just
I'm saying?
Just because you pour syrup on shit don't make it pancake.
I said, yeah. Okay.
Make it sticky stuff.
It just shows you your power, though, you know, and I don't even think back then none of us knew our power. Biggie didn't. We didn't know our power. Nobody That's knew their power. You remember, Mike, because we was kids.
Yeah.
You and Suge, y'all was grown, and Dr. Dre and all that. And every time y'all was having
parties.
Fun, oh, Good man, parties. We was like, man, we got to be there, but we got to sneak in with Snoop. Because Snoop always going to get, he's always going to get invited. So we got to sneak in
Tell
there with
you, I had fun in Death Row. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Oh, boy, was.
Yeah, Death Row was a lot of fun.
We had a lot of good parties.
Yeah. From a human perspective, you know, how do you deal with stuff like that? All in your face, you look at the fucking videos, and then you go out in the street, you go back home, and then people say, what the fuck? You must be fucking God. And they were showing all those videos
laughing,
you had,
but,
though. No, serious. What perspective do you have on that? That people look at you and say, whoa, you're a fucking star.
You got to be humble, and you got to... You know, whatever they say to you.
How do you stay humble? How does that happen?
You're born with it. That's why you see so many arrogant, you know, people out there. They were born with it. They can never be humble.
Born
like that.
Assholes. They're
born assholes.
No, I'm a strong believer that
fucking parents.
I'm a strong believer that people, especially human beings, are born to be humbled.
Until they get humbled.
Yeah.
You gotta be humble till you get humble.
Yeah, you gotta be humble.
Now that comes from a discipline, an ass whooping.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. 100%.
But you know, there
you
didn't discipline
a lot of motherfuckers.
You have to be humble. I've been disciplined in life. We all gonna have to be disciplined in life because without discipline, you won't survive in life. You know?
Yeah. You know, but there's things that make you the person that you are. So, you know, like I say, you're born humble. That's just one look at the game.
Truthful. I think poverty made me the person that I am.
Right. See,
you know, yes
there's
and
others.
No. You know bad from good. You know.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
You know what I mean? You can feel it.
Mm-hmm. But when what happens when you know it and you just can't stop by and just keep doing
karma's
it?
Karma's going to come get you.
Yeah. Karma's going to come get you. Karma is something you can't beat.
Yeah. Like if you do something that's bad to somebody and you walk around the house and you might hit your motherfucking toe on the fucking couch.
Broken.
So you tell yourself, if I do something like that, say, hey, slow down, Daz.
Slow your ass.
You know what
down.
I mean?
You're on fire right
now. That'll slow me down.
Douse the fire.
Because I know I done did some shit.
Because, you know, we all go through things. I mean, we've all been arrogant at one point of our life. I know when
bossy.
when we was growing up, you know, there was nothing nobody could tell us. That's the first part of being arrogant, because you know it all and you're flamboyant about everything. You're just arrogant. You're disrespectful. You're rude. You're all of the above. Once you get your ass whooped from being arrogant, you might become humble, because you can learn it through an ass whooping too, to be humble. I'll tell you that much.
Well, how come, what happens when you get the fame at a young age and you got so much power, no one's going to step to you and kick your ass? How are you going to get humbled? Then it comes to God.
God, and that's the key, because God places people around you to teach you humility. Those people didn't just come in your life that was a part of teaching you humility on a whim. That was God.
I didn't think God could humble you by just giving you a fucking cold.
Oh, hell no.
You know?
But he can humble you by putting the right people around you.
Yeah, but he can humble you by taking what you got and having you with nothing. And then you feel like, I have to be humble to get back to where I'm at.
I don't know about that. You know, in my experience, just my experience in life, you know, some people need their ego disconnected. You could take all their money. Their ego strokes them and keeps them alive.
I'm a firm believer of that, too. You know? But that's what he mean by, you know, he can humble you by stripping you of your shit. So even
different things in your life that you, you know what I'm
even
saying?
Though you've been humble, right? Then there's that time where you kind of change and you upset, you mad, you this. Hey, he don't give humility isn't just in success. Humility is also with your life. Humility is also with the way you eat. Humility is also with all these forms of your life. Because, you know, you got to humble yourself to something. When you eat and you become an ogre with it, you see what can happen.
And
God,
the fuck up.
Yeah, God, he puts the right people around you. But you got to see the sign. You have to notice it. It ain't like he tells it to you or write it on paper. These are signs. You see those signs, and it tells you which direction to go.
No, I'm feeling you, though, but how do you know the signs? What's your perspective on the signs? How do you dissect them?
I mean, me personally.
Your senses got to know bullshit from good shit.
Your instinct, your senses, the way you know, how you look at things. Because the sign, if you're looking, you'll notice it. You don't know how this is the sign. Snoopy was a sign. You know what I'm saying? When somebody tells you out the blue that you don't even know from Adam that, hey, man, you know, if I win, I'm going to come get you. I mean, what is that? You don't believe that. But with Dog, from day one, I believed him. He was humble. That was a sign. Now, I could have been like a lot of these funny niggas and just been like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. Okay, yeah, boop, and just go live my life.
Like, grab your CD and then
no
throw
beliefs.
The rest of the motherfucker out the window. hey, how you doing? Hey, get the shit out of here.
But the sign was the way he talked to me, his humility. And from that, that's what I wanted to be like. You see what I'm saying? I wanted to be like him. I'm going to be corrupt. But that humility he had and his swag. I mean, it was just everything, the confidence. And I didn't have that part. I could rock the mic, but I didn't have that part. And that was the beginning of growing to become a man. And that was the sign.
You're never too humble to learn.
Right. Never too old to learn, never too young.
You know what I mean? I learned from the youngest to the oldest and for myself. Still, you know.
So what do you think, when it's all over, what do you want it to be?
History.
Yeah.
You know?
Historically.
I mean, we've already made history through the death row era. Yeah. We're a part of that history. But then, you know, you got to make history for yourself. Because me, I'm so on fire with this mic. And, you know, I just want to be back in that game. And it's nothing to be back in there. Just got to stick to who you are and what it is. Daz, he's so on the same page, and so is Snoop. You know, and at our age, dealing with a young community, you know, one of the things I learned from Snoop was, you know, and when in Rome, you do as the Romans. It's all music, so it's not lower for us to learn something off of the youth. We learned
the music they love.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't understand us.
Same thing with Treacherous 3 and the Furious 5 and Run DMC and, you know what I mean? That's how we was looking at, you know what I'm saying? When they was looking, they probably was listening to our music like this trash shit they talking about, cussing every motherfucking minute. You know what I mean?
That's not art. That's not art.
But then we all became friends.
We had to earn it, though. I tell you this much. You had to earn it.
Cheaper, cheaper, y'all.
So let's go to another subject. Let's go somewhere. Check this out. How do you feel about death? What do you think about death?
Man. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, tell me about that.
You know what I'm saying? Death is a form of fear.
Really?
Yeah, because it's something you can't avoid. So why think about it? The bottom line is the fear of death, the fear of loss, fears. That you can't exist living off of fears. I know I'm going to die. One thing I know about it, though, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to get the most out of it.
So I can't think about getting the most out of life.
Oh, but just spending time with your family, like, you know, your children, if you have children, or people that creatively can inspire you, and doing everything that you want to do, as long as it's legal and it's not stupid, and be respectful. Once you got those things, of course, it goes back to humility. You'll find yourself elevating while everybody else is crashing. They just crash. You just watching them crash as you stick to that formula. Humility, respect, confidence, family, friends. Sometimes you got to get away from the game and see, you know, people that ain't even from the game. You know, they just, they're family. You go there. Daz goes to his cousin's house, goes over there and posts, and he's in heaven. Then there's the time when he gets inspired. He wants to go work. So, you know, that is the key.
Or I could go say, hey, I'm going to go to the country.
So it's so much to do. No, no. How can you think about death?
Well, I don't know. I think, how do you not think about death? Because I think life
is surrounded by it so much.
I think life is, you are surrounded by it. I think your birth is your death, and your death is your birth.
You're absolutely correct.
You know? But the understanding of it is just, the dissecting of it, of its existence, the reason of it, is just pretty interesting. Am I making myself clear?
Yeah.
You think, Evan?
Yeah, you are.
I mean, it's very interesting because after death is the key. Where do you go? So once you open the subject of death, you think about, it's so much to think about. So
I think
much,
it's about,
you know,
where you want to go.
Yeah, where you want to go. And that entunes your actions on earth.
Like my auntie said, you're going to the bone, aren't you?
What do you think about, Evan? I don't think you remember your birth or your death, do you?
I don't think so.
I don't remember my birth.
You can't.
Well, we're a species with amnesia.
Now, if you know you're finna get shot, you finna remember it.
We come into our consciousness. You know? And I have a theory that when we're little, we don't remember when we're really little because we're still plugged into everything. We're still plugged into the universe, and we haven't had that awakening of individuality yet. And so for me, my earliest memory I can remember, I'm about 2 and a half at the hospital with my mom. She's getting ready to give birth to my brother. And that was really my earliest memory that I can think of. And I think about, you know, because we've talked about this a lot, you know, and it's interesting, one of our previous conversations talking about how when we develop in the womb and we're in this, because we're living in fluid, we're living in a water, a liquid environment.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
I only know that.
No, I was just repeating.
No. You're right.
Man, how do you know that?
You're right. Yeah. It's very interesting. The only reason I know that is because I witnessed my wife develop our baby daughter in her belly for 9 months and watched her give birth.
That's my key right there, because we learn things because we were told. The key is, who told us? A person who experienced seeing that.
Oh, you know what I experienced seeing this.
But how do we know coming out of the womb? I mean, that
the consciousness
process
of coming out.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
What state are we in while we're in the womb?
We might be thinking we're getting ready for death.
Yeah.
You know, when it's time to be birthed into this world.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, I don't think you're thinking that.
What is that state of sleep? That's what we're talking about. The state of that sleep.
Right.
It's called being nurtured, and it ain't about what they see. It's about what they feeling.
You
know what I'm saying? Because a baby is, you know, the person that's holding them, feeding them. He, you know, he damn near asleep all the time.
I mean, you can describe the state as a form of a coma. You're in a form of a coma. What is a coma? You basically, you're gone, but you're here. They're here, but they're gone mentally. They don't have no mind to think until they get popped on their ass.
You have to know that's a hypothesis.
I don't think anybody knows.
You're right.
Exactly.
Everything is just a theory.
Because everybody's
a hypothesis.
It's all a theory.
Everybody
else
knows.
And you just
got
to choose what theory do I believe is true. So here's where your instinct comes in. Here's where your feeling comes in. We judge everything from our feeling and our knowledge. Those two will create your instinct because you know I can't walk down this block. This is going to happen more than if I walk down this block and go all the way around.
But what happened to the nigga that said, fuck them niggas. I'm going, them niggas ain't doing nothing. What happened to that guy?
He's gone.
Well, he got killed 30 minutes ago.
You remember that, right? Oh, they're going to be gone.
Because he thought.
In time. Because.
He thought.
Yeah.
See, sometimes you need to go off your first instinct. And going off your second
motherfucking right.
Because when you're driving sometime, you're like, fuck, he's in the way. And you get
on
this side.
No, I stay on first instinct.
And then when you get on this side, this traffic right here stops, and you got to get back into that same lane. It just, you know what I'm saying? I always go off my first thought. So
well, we have instincts.
Sock his ass, you're socking.
From before we had civilization, we had instincts. We were out living in the wilderness. We had to have instincts about survival. Where to get food, how to find food, how to pick the right plants, how to avoid animals, how to avoid the saber-toothed tigers.
So what do you think? You think our first food with each other?
Fruits and beers.
Probably not. Jesus. I don't think, I mean, cannibalism was probably around, but I feel like that.
You tell me before Christ, you don't think it was no cannibalism?
No, I think there was. I think there was between tribes.
Infamil.
Between, you know, families, between groups, whatever it was, whatever that, you know, that community was. But I think that wasn't a sustainable form of food.
I mean, when you look at shit early back in the days, you know, in the old pictures and stuff, they had turkeys and chicken. And, you know, if all that shit is still here now, it was back then too. You know what I'm saying? Just it looked a little bit more ageable.
Even these theories are all based on the idea that we evolved from cavemen.
What made us think that?
Who knows that that's
even
true?
When we first came out the cave,
right? That's true.
All right, so when we did come out the cave, what made us think that we should eat the animals instead of each other? What made us say, let's eat that bird? Let's grab that cow.
And the cow.
Somebody
they wasn't talking to us. We wasn't communicating the same language.
So I know somebody taught me. No, I'm talking about the first motherfucker that saw this shit and said, "Well, I'm hungry, but how do I eat? How do I catch them and eat? Does he starve to death? The first man couldn't have starved to death, couldn't he?"
Those are equations that will never be answered because I'm a firm believer that a lot of people can tell you a lot, but was you there? If you wasn't there to witness.
I wonder, did he physically grab the cow and try to bite him or take him down or something?
I think he was starving.
Well,
so he saw the cow
there,
and took off. Come here! Yeah!
That dude.
Like people in a village and things like that, when you look at YouTube or you look at places like I went to Jamaica and I seen how they cutting the goat head off in the middle of the yard. You know what I mean?
You saw that?
Yeah. And, you know, and I done killed a couple of chickens too myself in the yard and put them in the bucket and put that hot water on them and skin them.
Chickens.
You know, all that shit. You know, I'm a country city type.
Fuck, guys.
Smoke weed in the yard and kill a chicken and eat him later on.
I don't doubt him, though, because this nigga still know how to cook. To cook as good as he is, I'm pretty sure he had some experience.
He's a good cook.
Starting from the start. You know what I'm saying? We'll chop this motherfucker up. God damn it, and fricassee him. You know, Daz, right? Let me tell you about this guy. This motherfucker.
Let us know.
Hey, look, man, this nigga took the goldfish out the motherfucking
goldfish. Not the goldfish.
My auntie didn't feed me or something, so I took the goldfish out of the.
And you ate it?
The tank.
You ate
and
it,
I skinned
it.
But the fact was, I skinned it. So I knew that. We got to take the scales off of
Moondog Maine. They was
jumping
crazy,
off, right?
They was jumping off the pot. Named Moondog Maine that ate the goldfish.
Right, who does?
And then my auntie came in there, and I got the whooping of my life.
Fuck.
Whoop that ass.
Come on,
you
dad.
You done cook Nemo, just, my nigga. How you going to be cooking Nemo?
Goldfish.
You can't cook Nemo.
Goldfish.
Shit, it was them big ones, too, though. Them big ones. You know them big ones in there with the big face?
Now,
it wasn't them little.
Now, Mike, can you ask Daz these deep questions you're giving? Ask him. What on God's green earth made you grab the family's fish?
He was high.
He was hungry.
I was hungry.
He was hungry.
I was a kid. I was 4 years old.
High and hungry, nigga.
Stayed at my auntie's house. She was asleep. She wouldn't get up. So I went in there and cooked.
Yeah, I don't
shit.
Know. You know anything about the fucking man being black, nigga? When you don't got no food, you can't got. You don't got shit, nigga. You don't got no fucking right. Peanut butter, no jelly, no bread. The fucking refrigerator just fucking water in there probably. You know what I mean?
That's how they thought it did that, cannibalism that, back then too. That safe shit. Fuck. We ain't got nothing to eat. Ain't nothing to eat right
my
here.
Mother was so poor. When she used to get drunk, we probably fuck around and starve to death.
Oh wow. So you had to ride it out. Yeah that, man, they don't understand that struggle. I mean, that's real.
I was a savage. I never wanted to be that way again.
Yeah,
I had no doubt I was gonna be successful. No way.
But you worked hard though.
Yeah.
People tend to lose how hard you gotta work.
Yeah.
I always kept my focus. I never lost fucking focus. I was always dead focus for years on what I wanted and stuff.
I had the same focus until I saw your fight and you hit the nigga and my vision shook and like, damn. It's like the television show
through
Rook.
The TV.
Right, yeah, that was I weird felt, too. That I was felt weird the nigga. Too. It's like when he hit him, the nigga was like, and I'm like, ugh, I feel it. I'm like, it's about to be bang, bow. Oh, man, my back hurt. My back hurt. You know what I'm saying? My chest hurt something because, I mean, it's all in what you vision, you know?
Yeah.
I think
so. Side to side, side with 1-2, Mike. That,
yeah.
Huh?
Bang. You know oh, my God. Nigga, just shake, man.
I use that tactic, too, when I'm fighting motherfuckers.
And what happened with Kanye? You remember you were in the car, and homeboy fucking called him all these really bad names?
When they called the police on me, I went to jail.
He did?
Yeah.
Did he really? Get the fuck out. Stop playing, man.
When they called the cops on me, I went to jail.
What happened?
Because he was like, probably saying, hey, any motherfucker smoking weed now.
Oh, they said you were smoking weed while you were talking?
Yep.
Fuck. Yeah, but the guy you were in the car with, he was fucking vicious. He was being really mean to Kanye. He was vicious.
What was he saying?
Oh, really, 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 really,
it's
really.
Awful shit.
He was really, yeah. It was really awful. Really funny,
it really
though.
Wasn't nice.
It was funny.
It was funny, though.
It was his instinct.
What do you guys think about Kanye?
I love his music.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm a producer, so you know.
I think Kanye.
You know him, you know what I'm saying?
I think Kanye is a very interesting person.
Yeah.
I fucks with him 100%.
I think he's a very interesting person.
We're going to get all that Kanye and Dad stuff out of there, you know
I think
what I'm
he's
saying?
A good guy, but I think some of us just got to be fucking, what's the word? Properly directed.
Yeah.
And one thing
get
about
his information.
It, yeah. One thing about the kid. A lot of people take things for granted, but that kid been through a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say, that man been through a lot. You know, his car accident, restructuring this shit.
You been through shit, too.
His mama passed.
What about your shit?
That's like me, you know.
We all man, been through
you
shit.
You know, we been through hella shit. Shit.
What was Suge like?
I like Suge.
Yeah? What Suge. Do you guys think?
Suge was a teacher. You know, he didn't sugarcoat anything. He put you on there. You want to be on the field, he put you on the field. Just give him your best and you can win. Otherwise, you get thrown in the pool.
Fuck up, you fucked up.
Oh, boy.
What would be fucking up in that scenario?
Stepping on that death row symbol.
A stealing.
Or not being solid.
Yeah.
Or telling other crews what your crews are doing and shit.
Ooh, that's
stuff like
so
that,
far
right?
away yeah. getting fucked up.
But that's what they do.
Running off with the studio.
Come here, nigga.
Running off with studio time and
fucking
the reels and shit.
Oh, shit. Niggas don't want to, you know, it's good when people come over, Uncle Mike, but man, niggas don't want that visit.
Oh, the visit. Oh.
Sheesh. Mm-hmm. You know, but to tell you the truth, I mean, the way Suge treated us, he treated us like grooming us into being the best we could be. He gave us our lane, and we just seen a different Sugar Bear, you dig what I'm talking about, than everybody else saw. Plus, we stay solid. And, you know.
Yeah. But you think about a human being, how you going to deal with all that power and stuff? You know what I mean? You never had this kind of power and money before, and all of a sudden you got it. No one taught you how to handle this stuff, how to conduct yourself with this stuff.
Yeah. 600 million.
How you going to deal with that?
Christ. I don't know, man.
Is that what he was worth?
Shit. Yeah, he had that much money, 600 million.
Whoa.
Shit.
Yeah. That sounds absurd.
I thought, it was close. Somebody said it was close to $1 billion.
Easily.
Sure, yeah.
Wow, back then, too?
Yeah.
Sure, had it.
What?
How about Dr. Dre?
He got it, too.
Right, he got it. Dr. Dre was a teacher.
He was a teacher, too. Still is, you know what I'm saying?
Dr. Dre was the key. Mm. He's still the key.
Yeah.
Key to the game. You know, he's classic. I don't know how he thinks.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, some things
in life
ain't
believing
in
Dre, man, is believing with Sugar.
You know, Uncle Mike, some things in life ain't meant to understand. They're meant to live. Because you'll never be able to understand. So when you get around.
But why do you think you'll never be able to understand it?
Because you ain't understood it yet.
I don't know. Do you think maybe somebody can come along and be more superior than our thinking is now and in the future and think things out that we couldn't think out?
Wow, yeah, you're right. Now, I don't know. All I know is right now, and that's 46 years, about to be 47, I still can't figure it out. That sounds like one of the, I feel
what
like.
What is it you want to know?
How? Pretty sure it's the same thing. Everybody else want to know about anything. That interesting. How does he come up with this shit? I mean, I swear to God, man, we make a record, then Dr. Dre will take it. We can go to sleep. When we wake up, it's a different record. How did he know to do those things? Put that thing in there? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting too. I can understand.
It's
understand
a feeling. You can feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All that, man.
Everything has a feel. Know. You know what I'm saying? You wake up in the morning, as soon as you open your eyes, you know how you feel. Do I feel good? Do I feel achy? Do I feel sick?
I feel like working out.
Do I feel horny?
You know? I know that's
that type
right.
of shit.
God damn it.
It's all a feel.
Could be.
It's a feel.
Him and Daz and Warren G, they just wake up in music.
Tell us about, because this is one of my all-time favorite pregame songs, All Eyes on Me.
Yeah.
You're the lead producer on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we always had a good relationship with Tupac, you know, all the way from Juice and when we first met him. And he gave us a laser disc with the movie on it. Big ass laser disc back in the day.
Look like a 72
big ass record.
Right.
But it was, you know what I'm saying? He gave us that. And then we didn't have no motherfucking laser disc. So
nobody did.
No laser disc player.
That was for top entourage.
Those were the big ones.
Yeah, so we had to go back over Tupac house to watch the motherfucker. You know what I mean? When he stayed in Venice Beach. And you know what I'm saying? And then we used to tell Suge, you know, we want Tupac on death row because we was doing songs with him. He was our friend, you know what I'm saying? And he made it happen. And then he got off the plane and we met up at the studio, and I had just made like 5 new beats that day, too. So, Ambitious Slap of a Rider.
I ain't mad at you.
Most of a Gangsta Party. Got my mind made up, and I ain't mad at you.
Fuck, bro. That's so
when I first came home from prison, right, I played fucking Redman, Time for Some Action. Mm-hmm. And Pac, you know, came and visited me a couple of times in prison, right? And then one day we were sitting down somewhere. I don't know where it was. We were somewhere and we were sitting down. And he just looked at me, came over to hey, Mike, wait, don't ever play them niggas again. Don't ever play them. They don't fucking love you. Don't play their fucking music. They don't love you, okay? And I never played anybody but him again.
Wow. Wow, dude. It was straight from Pac.
Oh, my God.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
Hey, you know what? Some things, man. You know, that's why it's great to meet people, because their experience is so epic.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard of that before, because it was just Mike and Pop. That's, you know,
their conversation. You know,
and
what
it's
saying?
Like, damn, you know, Pop never ceased if you didn't amazing, tell it, man. You know, he, just, hey. he was so, you know.
He was a Gemini. He's a Gemini. You know, I'm a Gemini. We
pushing
outspoken.
That line. Yeah. Hey, man, don't ever play that shit again, man. Whatever you do.
Listen, but this is play that shit. This is the thing, right? His mentality is like this: we're together. We're gonna kill together. We're gonna die together. That's his mentality. For this real. Is his mentality. We're together. We're family. We're gonna all die together.
And the key was that he lived it.
No, real talk.
So it made you want to ride even more, because it's like, you know, he don't just say it. He shows it. This is what it is. And, you know, that's what where we was as the Dog Pound. And I think that's one of the things that connected us with Pac, was the way we think. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, look,
he was very extreme at sometimes. You know, sometimes he get very extreme.
Yeah, he would come over to Snoop House. We would learn from Pac, you know what I'm saying? Because he would come over to Snoop House with the Outlaws, and they would go out in the basketball court and discipline some motherfuckers right there. Bam! Whooping ass!
Are you serious?
And then we would all look at each other, and our crew were like, some motherfuckers we know should be getting whooped in too. So after they leave and do that, we go out there and
go discipline some dudes.
Whoop some ass too at the same time.
For the basketball court? What the fuck were they doing that for?
It was whooping somebody shit out of somebody wrong. Or something.
Something wrong, man. Did something wrong. Had to be answered to. Had to be answered to.
Pac was an interesting brother, man. I love this guy. He was with no fear. He didn't give a fuck.
He didn't give two shits. Come on. Hey, look, we finna go over here and do this and do that. Come on, nigga. Be like, oh, man, who don't want to go? Yeah, that's wrong. Okay. Nigga, I don't give a fuck. He'd be like, boop, bop, boop, Pac. Moving fast. Shoot, 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 shoot. Bam.
They love
you get
smoking,
there.
Though.
Well, they love Pac. They love Pac.
He loves smoking, though. Because, you know, we stayed in the apartment next to him. Yeah. He would always hear, you could hear the elevator come up. He know, that's the weed, man. I need to go on over there. I can get mine, too.
Pac had a right. Big heart. He
kept that.
Yeah.
He had a big heart.
Loved to help people.
Oh, big time.
I mean, he was a leader. He was And he's so close to me and Daz's age, but he was so far mentally. Mm. You know,
he's seen a lot of stuff. You know, he's seen a lot of stuff. He was in a lot of, he should have been using some, what do they do? PTSD for some of the
PTSD.
Yeah, Pac should have had some of that.
That means he should have been medicated. Legally.
Yeah, big time.
Man, he'd have the time of his life right now with this
big
legalized system.
No, and he would have his own podcast.
What?
Pac would have his own podcast.
His own weed, too. Shit.
Yeah, but by now he have his own podcast, his weed. Probably have his own movie studios.
And also be a lot of rappers that's here now. They probably wouldn't have made it.
Well, guys, it's been fucking great having you in here.
Where are you going from here?
Yeah, is there anything? Where are you going from here? Yeah, what's next?
Oh, man. History.
Yeah, you're
I'm
right.
I'm selling for nothing less.
He's making history.
Oh, man, which means a lot of good work. You got to work hard.
I say
concentration and focus.
Being on the earth, our work is not done. There's always something to
you're
do.
You're right about that.
You know what I'm saying? So I look at it like I can't stop. I got it's something to do every day, every second, every minute, every hour.
That's right. And one of these things, me personally, I learned it from Pac. He made me appreciate being in the studio. He made me appreciate this career I have. I would sit in the studio for a whole day and just chill, lay one verse, and then go get something to eat, eat something, fight a bitch over, do this, do that, all the rest of that. And then by nighttime, I might lay my next verse. Man, Pac was knocking down four records a day. Easily. Wake and go. And he would come in the room and be like, hey, nigga, what you doing? You laying down? Nigga, knock down the record. Hey,
this studio costing.
This motherfucker costing the crap. Get off your ass. Matter of fact, let me hear this. Okay. And he inspires you. Next thing you know, that's how we started working. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I can't wait to make this new history up.
It's awesome, man.
Yes, sir.
You can do it, brother. Awesome. That's impossible for somebody that tries.
Man. Right. Dez, how about you, brother?
I mean, you know, making history and taking care of the family and, you know, longevity is my word.
That's a good word.
Good word. Great word, man. Been a real pleasure having you dudes in here, man.
We appreciate the love and having us in here, Big Mike. Yeah,
thank you.
Time, and good looking, Unc.
Nah, this is good.
You know, this is family
Mike,
shit right
Mike
here,
raised
man.
Us, man. Him and, this is good him and stuff, Shook, man. They was chilling. We was young, man. We just see Mike and them, man. What an inspiration, man. We with the champion. And that made us want to be champions. You know what I'm saying?
That must have been wild for young kids seeing all those guys, all those cars and money and houses.
Just to be at the houses with you guys and the cars trip, and shit. Right? Like, you know what? This shit is real. Like,
man, this is real. Because guess what? Hey, man. I think I'm with the champ. You can't tell me shit.
You know, I used to have money, but I didn't know what to do with it, like in 86 and stuff. And then I saw Eddie Murphy house and cars. And I said, this is what I want. I want to do this. I'm going to buy this mansion. I'm going to get these Rolls Royces, this clothes. This is what I'm doing right here.
Motherfucker, right. And it felt great, didn't it?
Oh, incredible, man. Incredible.
It was incredible.
How old is Eddie?
I don't know. He might be
63.
Yeah, probably 60.
Really?
Wow. 58, 60.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shit. All right, dudes. We appreciate you guys, man.
Thank you very much, guys.
Mike, appreciate you. Another great episode.
Let's get the fuck out of here, man. I'm starving. Man.
Let's get some fucking lunch. Here, you know. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. I'm Eben Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson. You guys want the people to know anything about you? Tell us where to find you.
Where can they find you guys?
Yo, hit me up at Daz Dillinger, DazDillinger.
Daz Dillinger, nigga.
Corrupt, Young Gotti. It's corrupt, KURUPT _ Gotti, GOTTI.
Oh, man, I'm really happy having these guys here.
Love it.
All good.
All right, everybody. Until next time.
Let's go get something fucking to eat.